Okay, good evening, everybody. I want to thank the Youngers for hosting, first of all. Very nice opening up your house to us, your patio to us, sitting under here under the stars, learning some Torah with the Chevra. It's a really beautiful thing.
Even arranged the blossom for us.
Yeah, wow, incredible. But please do thank Dalia, and let's get to it, let's learn. Parshas Emor is an action-packed Parsha, lot to cover, and so I'd like to share some Torah together. So the first thing that this Parsha speaks about is Kohanim. The first number of sections of the Parsha talk about the unique status of the Kohanim, certain mitzvot that only apply to Kohanim, they cannot become Tamei Lamed, they can't come into contact or close proximity to a dead body, and there's certain people that they're not allowed to marry, etc. But the opening of the Parsha is famously a bit redundant, right? Maybe you've noticed this before. Torah starts, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Emor la Kohanim b'nei Aaron. Say to the Kohanim, children of Aaron, V'yamar talehem, and then you will say to them, L'nefesh li tama be'amav, that you shall not become impure for a soul in the nation. You shouldn't become in contact with a dead body. The first part is a bit repetitive, no? Emor la Kohanim, say to the Kohanim, b'nei Aaron, children of Aaron. So first of all, we know the Kohanim are b'nei Aaron. No need to repeat both of those phrases. And then, via marta alehem. And more via marta alehem is very repetitive. And even the first note, often it starts with a daber, Hashem Moshe lemor. Hashem used the word of dibor. And then to something specific. Dibor is a general language, and amira is more specific. Here it's the same, and more via marta. Say, and say to them again. So why does it say it twice? It doesn't need to say that. It could have just said, and more la konen b'nei aron, nefshi tamah b'amah. No need to repeat via marta alehem. So, Chazal famously note here that something interesting. They say, Emor ve'amart is lahazir agdolim alakatanim. Say to the Kohanim, the adults, that they should repeat it to their children. That there is a unique obligation for the adult Kohanim to ensure that not only they don't become Tamei, but their children as well don't become Tamei. And it's almost like a specific mitzvah of chinuch that we have to make sure our children learn how to keep mitzvah. But I wanted to share two other ideas here. One from the Chassam Sofer, if you have it in Source Aleph, and one from the Kedushas Levi. So both of them, I think, see this first statement as its own statement. It's not that the whole statement is saying, don't become Tamei, but the first line here is a statement in itself. Emor la Kohanim, say to the Kohanim, B'nei Aaron, you're children of Aaron. That's what you should tell them. You're children of Aaron. What significance? So Chassam Sofer takes this in a positive way. Take a look at source number Aleph. He says, Yeshomar, Sheyomer lo kanam v'yasulem shem zera kodesh ish chasido. Remind them that they are holy children, the holy children of ish chasido, Aharon's, Hashem's pious follower, Aharon. Shehema b'nei Aharon. They're children of Aharon. V'ra'i u'mechuyiv lahem nizaher b'tosefek kedusha b'mitzvah kohanim. Because they're the children of Aaron, that's why they have to be particularly careful with an extra level of Kedusha. Yoter mikal Yisrael, more than the rest of Yisrael, the reason I'm demanding this from you, the reason that I'm making sure you have to do more mitzvot, is because you're the children of Aaron. B'nei Aaron, and the children of Aaron. So that's sort of a positive way of taking it. Kedushas Levi takes it a bit more, I wouldn't say negatively, but it's a bit more of Musa, right? Kohanim have all sorts of special privileges in mitzvah. Kohanim get to bring karbanot. Kohanim get to eat truma. Kohanim have... We honor Kohanim and they get the first aliyah. They're the first people to speak. If you're benching, you have to ask for a shutza Kohanim. So they might think of pretty highly of themselves. Oh, we're the Kohanim. We're extra special holy. God must really, really love us. So Kedushas Levi, Levi Yitzchak Mardichev says... I want to put them in their place for a second, right? You didn't do anything to earn all that. It's not like you earned Kedusha Kehuna. You earned bring Karbano. You got all this because you're B'nai Aharon. You're the children of Aharon. Aharon Akon was a big tzaddik. You're his children. You're born into Kehuna. You're born into these privileges. Take a look here at the Kedushas Levi. We'll start from start from the beginning. Azivor Apostle Kemal Akonim. Bio Kasher Tziva Hashem Lemosha Lemuel Akonim Shikachu Atzman. Hashem commanded Moshe to tell the Kohanim they have to make themselves holy. Ach pen yarum levav Kohanim meyitga'u levavam, lest the hearts of the Kohanim would be raised and they get haughty. Lemor mikamoem, who's like us? Asher bahem bachar Hashem mikol Yisrael. God chose them out of all of Israel. V'hakdisham b'kdusha, to make them holy. V'hachilan kotshe shemayim, he fed them karbanos. She'itzer asor lazarim, which zarim cannot eat, like truma. V'vadahem chashuvim l'vei makum. Oh, we must be really, really, really important. V'chibato lahem yotzer mikol Yisrael. He loves us more than the rest of the Jews. V'yarum levavam alachem b'nei Yisrael. They'll get haughty. That will cause them to think they're better than everyone else. Therefore, God said, before I tell you about all the stuff you need to do because you're Kohanim, here's the introduction. They shouldn't get haughty. And then he tells them what God wants from them. A person can only take pride in what they accomplish, what they put effort into. Something you didn't work for, like your lineage, like your parental descent. There's no reason to be haughty about that. You didn't do anything to be Aaron's child. That's just the way you were born. What's that even considered? That's why I say that Kohanim, you're Bnei Aaron. Klomar shemikodem talked to them mashachavit parapahem. First, just know, don't get too haughty about yourself. You're just a soldier of Aaron. So two different ways of looking at this, right? One is, wow, you guys are special, Bnei Aaron. You gotta really, really be holy. That one is, you're just Bnei Aaron. Don't get too full of yourselves. I think both ideas point to something pretty profound, which is that Kohanim is a job description, right? Kohanim is what you do. If you're a Kohen, you go to the Bnei Mikdash, you do the Avodah. Bnei Aaron is more than that. It's an identity. Not just a job, but an identity. And I think we all have that sort of dichotomy. There's what we do, whatever that is, but then there is who we are. And the Kohanim are Bnei Aharon. That's their identity beyond their specific job description. Okay, so a few ideas about an opening to the Parsha. Just another brief thought about this notion, this idea of the Kohanim being holier. It's a bit bothersome, no? Like, I'm sure some of us have had this question before, like, what does this mean? Some of us are more holy than others. They have extra levels of Kedusha, V'kidash Do, make them holy, Kadosh Yila, they'll be holy for you. It's very strange. Why would that be? So, the Rabag has an interesting perspective here. He says, it's not necessarily just that there's something special about them, but it's about what they're doing. They're serving God. It says, Lechem Elokecha Hu Makriv, they're giving karbanos. And if we're commanded to attribute unique sanctity to people who serve Hashem, if we honor those who serve God, if we have to specifically do things to show how much we honor those who serve God, ultimately the hope is that will lead us to respect God as well. If we have to show so much respect to the Kohanim just because they offer Karbanon and Mikdash, so how much more respect do we have to show to the person we're davening to and serving, the being in the Mikdash? Right, and then the point of honoring the Kohanim is ultimately to honor God, because the Kohanim only are honored because Lechem Elokecha Hu Makriv, they serve God. And this reminded me of some Rav Huttner used to quote from the Rabbeinu Yonah. There's a pasuk in Mishlei which says Ish Lefi Mahalalo, Ish Lefi Mahalalo. So, often translated, a person is according to how he is praised. Rabbeinu Yonah says no, that's not what it means. Ish Lefi Mahalalo means a person can be judged based on who they praise. Who is it that you are most excited about? Who is it that you really look up to? Right? I guess, like, classically, like, you know, if a well-known athlete or celebrity, like, walked in the room, like, oh my goodness, holy cow, you know? And maybe you want to get their autograph and get a picture with them, etc., right? But what if, like, a well-known, and I don't know, rabbi or tzaddik or community leader walked in the room? Like, oh, whatever, you know? Oh, look, it's a rabbi, that's nice. If that's the... So that says something about you. Because that shows what do you respect? What do you think is important? So Rabag is saying, Hashem wants us to honor the Kohanim because the Kohanim serve Hashem. And that means we're honoring those who serve Hashem, which means hopefully the service of God is important in our lives. That's why we honor it. Whom we honor tells us a lot about our priorities in life. Okay, so that's... And then the Torah talks a lot about the Kohanim and who can serve and who cannot serve and blemishes, etc. After the discussion of the Kohanim, we have a pretty important concept of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. Torah says, "V'nikdash v'lo tachalu et shein kedshi." you shouldn't desecrate my and my name. V'nikdash li b'toh b'nei Yisrael, you'll become sanctified among the Jewish people. Explain that tomorrow. Explain that.
No, on Shabbos afternoon.
All right.
May not be the topic.
Oh, okay. Okay. It may or not be the topic of the Dvar Torah. Okay. So, I won't tell anybody. I'm not going to tell anybody. All right. So, what does that mean, Kiddush Hashem? What does it mean, Chilul Hashem? So, Chazal understood this to be a pretty intense situation, which we shouldn't have to know from, which is that in certain circumstances, generally not, but in certain circumstances, Chas V'Shalom, if a person's threatened to violate mitzvot, with either violate the mitzvah or die. So in certain circumstances, namely if they're in a crowd of Jewish people, and a lot of people are watching, at least 10 adult Jewish males, and the person is trying specifically to get them to violate their religion. So Kiddush Hashem means, rather than violate your religion in public, you say, no, I'm not going to do it. That means Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, you sanctify God's name with your life, with actually your life. So Rashi says something which is pretty challenging. Rashi says that when a person is there and they're saying, okay, I'm going to give up my life, they shouldn't do that on the condition that hopefully God's going to make a miracle. Interesting. Don't go in thinking like, you know, God's going to save me. No, do it regardless of what happens. And then maybe Hashem will do a miracle. Because he says, we see the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in the Navi of Daniel. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were 3 leaders of the Jewish people. And they were going to be thrown into fire, just like Avram Avinu. And they were saved, but they didn't think that they were going to be saved. And Hashem makes a miracle. So why? Why is that? Like, if I deserve to be saved, so why can I say, hopefully Hashem will save me? What's so bad about that? So the Gor Aryeh says, Maharal says, source number Hey, that it's about the question of what are you actually willing to commit yourself to? Meaning, I'll read it inside, actually. His language is pretty self-explanatory. He says, Tom Darazay do. The reason for this is as follows. Kikasher moser atzma menach enos enones. When a person gives themselves over without the, not conditionally, not contingent upon the fact that God will do a miracle, nikra kadosh ba'atzmo, they're called holy. Kimoshi nitzak nekel agabi amizbeach, like Yitzhak, who is bound on the altar. Holy. This person also becomes holy. Because they're saying, I'm giving myself over, whatever happens. Here, God, I'm making that call. I'm making that decision. I am not going to renege on desecrating your name. Once you make that decision and you're holy, you achieve that status, then wow, you're willing to give it up, give up all that, simply to defend my honor. So then Hashem does a miracle. Hashem doesn't want a person, you know, Chas V'Shalom, to have to die. Hashem wants to do a miracle. So once you show that commitment, then Hashem does the miracle. That's the secret of miracles. But if a person is saying, I don't really want to give up, I'm not going to give it up, I'm just hoping God will save me, so that's not the same level of Kedusha. So hopefully we never are faced with this situation. But to me, there, you know, like when we say V'yahathas Hashem Elokecha b'chol avalcha v'chol nashecha, we say you love your God with all your soul. It does ask, get us to ask the question: how important ultimately is Torah mitzvot to me? I think that is a healthy question. It's an important question to ask. Like, how committed am I? Ultimately, no one ever wants to actually be in that situation. But to think about that situation, to say, I am totally committed, that is being moser atmo. That itself, that exercise, the intellectual and emotional commitment, is itself creates a certain amount of kedusha. If you look at source number 5, I brought from a first year, beautiful idea, where it refers about what kedusha Hashem means. The first argues, it's not that you're doing something extra by being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Rav Hirsch argues that God's name has been nikra upon us. That there's something inside of us that says that we are the children of God. We are God's children. We are Bnei Yisrael. The word Aleph Lamed is the word God. Kale, right? That God's name is part of our name. So there's something about us inherently which says that we have a unique connection with God. Kiddush Hashem means that part of ourselves, that connection with God, That is the most important thing to me. About me. The most important thing about me is that I'm God's child. And everything, all the other things that I want, like all the other aspirations or goals or desires that I have to ultimately flow from that. That's the most important thing. What is Chilul Hashem? Chilul, something hollow. Chilul Hashem is that you're called the child of God, you're called by the name of God, but just a title. It's just a title because we're calling you that, but it's not really that important to you. There are other things that are more important, which means that even though you are, you know, B'nai Yisrael, you're a member of the Jewish people, but it just becomes a title because you don't, that's not the most important thing to you. You don't live by that. And so it's just an external, you know, hollow ring which doesn't contain an interior commitment to that title. That's what Chilul Hashem is, but it's about just being who we are. We are Nikra B'Shem Hashem, and the Kiddush Hashem means living up to that. Okay, so that's the notion of Kiddush Hashem. The end of the Parsha, I want to mention a few things here, talks about the Moedim. Talks about Shabbat first, and then all the different holidays. Starts with Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. So, there's a question that's often asked. It starts off by saying, these are your Mikra Kodesh, these are your holidays. What's the first thing? Shabbat. 7 6 days you're going to rest. You keep Shabbos on the seventh day. And then it says, these are the holidays. And then it goes through Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. So why does it mention Shabbos? Right? Mikra'i Kodesh or not, we don't think of Moedim as Shabbos. Shabbos is every single week. Shabbos is there whether we declare the Kodesh or not. It's Kaviyah V'Kaima. Why mention Shabbos here? So there's a Chazal, which is a bit strange and cryptic. It says, it's to teach you that anyone who is Mechal al the Moedim, anyone who doesn't keep the holidays, which includes the entire holiday, both the first part and Chol HaMoed, it's as strict as if they violated Shabbos. That's why I mentioned Shabbos. What's that supposed to mean? So Marlo has an interesting idea. Very interesting. He says, if you look at the biblical holidays, the holidays in the Torah, how many days of Moedim are there? So let's count it. He says it here. Shekol Machal to Moedim. Shegam Him Nikram Shabbat. The Moedim are also called Shabbos. Why? Him Zayin Yom, there's 7 days. Shteyom Shapesach, 2 days of Pesach. Okay, 2. Yom Echalat Shartzeret, 2 plus 1 is 3. Yom Echal Rosh Hashanah. Biblically, there's only 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. So 3, that's 4. Yom Echal Tzom Asor, Yom Kippur, is 5. And Shnei Yomim Shal Sukkot, it means the first day of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres, that's 7. V'Heim Zayin. So altogether, the days of Moed, the days of Yom Tov, are 7. V'Heim Zayin Neged Yom HaShabbos Yom HaShvi. Those are 7 days of Moed, which are correspond to the Shabbos, the seventh day. But Machal Tamodo Shem Nechlolim Tachar Shabbat. In this sense, all the festivals are included within Shabbos. Kilu Chlal Shabbat Shiyom Hashvi. And then he says something very, very interesting. Bahavein Davar Zehite V'Timsa Echa Mechalal Zakachin Kilu Chlal Shabbat. Someone who desecrates Moed is like they desecrated Shabbat. Sham Moedim Him Chelke Hashvita. Each of the Moedim is a portion of rest. Shabbat, who kol ha-shvita. Very interesting idea we're thinking about. I'm not sure exactly what he means here. Shabbos includes all the Moedim. That's what he's saying. You add up all the Moedim, that's 7 days. Shabbos is the seventh day. It includes all the sanctity of the Moedim within 1 day. I'm not exactly sure how that is, but what I do know is this. Sometimes we have the tendency to give more respect to the things that are less common, right? You get pumped up for a Pesach. Or maybe you don't, because it's just like a lot. But you pumped up for Shavuot, you pumped up for Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, everybody makes a lot of preparations. That happens once a year, that's important. Shabbos, every week is Shabbos. Next week will be Shabbos, the week after will be Shabbos. I don't need to get so pumped up, excited for Shabbos. Maral is saying Shabbos includes within it the Kedusha of every single Moed at once, in 1 day. All the different Moedim are a portion of the sanctity of Shabbos. So we get it every week, but it's the most holy. And that is, therefore, something to prepare for, to invest in. The commonality, the frequency of it doesn't take away from its status. Okay. Now, within the Parshat HaMoedim, it starts with Pesach. And then after Pesach, we talk about Sfirat HaOmer. And Sfirat HaOmer is a bit of a mystery. What exactly are we counting? Sfirat HaOmer means there was an Omer offering from the first crop of the new season after Pesach. They would take some barley and they would wave it And then they would offer that as a carbon mincha. And from the time they offered that carbon, they would count every single day. That's Sfiras HaOmer. We got to do that tonight. And then the 50th day is Shavuot. Then we bring another carbon. It's a carbon she'al lechem, two loaves of bread. The two loaves of bread are actually brought on the Mizbeach. You just kind of eat them. But then there's other carbon that are brought on the Mizbeach. That's Sfiras HaOmer. Why are we counting? Like, it's not 100% clear what the purpose of counting is. You know, most holidays, God gives us a date. You know, God could have said, Shavuos is on Vav Sivan. You didn't need to say, count 50 days, and that's Shavuot. What's the purpose of counting? So, of course, and we'll get to that on a rabbinic level, the rabbis saw in this sort of a mitzvah of counting up and preparing for Matan Torah, the getting of the Torah on Shavuot. But if you look in the Torah, that's not explicit. In the Psukim, it seems to be an agricultural phenomenon, right? All the holidays are called Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, the Shalosh Regalim, but there's also other names for them. We call Pesach, what else? Chag Aviv, the holiday of the spring. The spring is when things begin to bud and sprout. Shavuot is also Chag HaKatzir, the holiday of the harvest. That's what's called in the Torah too. When you, not only did they sprout, they grew, and you harvest, you cut off the produce, and you begin to gather it. And Sukkot is at the end of that process when you finish gathering everything in from the field and bringing it to the storehouses. There's an agricultural cycle here. So on a simple level, Sfira has to do with that. So Sforno suggests that as follows. A very beautiful idea. Take a look at source number Chai. He says, Ta'amak Tartemak Katsira. Okay. Shalo Tiktsuru Ba'aretz Katsira Shiat Katsuma Omer. Taviyo Torisha Katsira Kemal HaKohen. When you begin the harvest, what it means is you shouldn't begin the harvest until you bring the Omer, and you bring that to the Kohen. Then he quotes another pasuk in Devarim to the same effect. Ki asur l'hanif chamesh l'akamah yom shetachal espor. Until you begin, you can't begin harvesting until you begin counting. Why? V'hechal dibar chagashuas min Omer. We begin from the Omer. Ki me'az matchil katsir be'omer, u'sfirot hashvot she me'yan chag nikra chag ha'katsir. Okay. V'chag ha'shavuot, shebo natan adala kelyet barach, ha'shavuot chukot katsir, sheshamar lanim. Shavuot, in a simple level, is when we thank Hashem for the harvest. As a farmer, Sforno is going to say, you begin, that those 7 weeks are crunch time. There's a lot of suspense there. Things have to bud, and you're hoping that at the end of that 7 week period, you'll have produce to harvest. So this, after those 7 weeks, Shavuot is a time of thanking Hashem, that hopefully you had a successful crop, and now you can thank Hashem for those 7 weeks of growth of the springtime, right? The springtime goes into the summer. Hopefully by the beginning of the summer, you have what to harvest. And this is just a basic idea, but I think it's important. The idea of the holidays are for prayer and thanksgiving. That on the month of the spring, the holiday of the spring, Pesach, we dive into Hashem for the spring, and we thank Him for freedom. Thank you for freeing us from Egypt. And we couple that with and davening and praying that it's a successful spring season, that things begin to bud. Since the success of the harvest is contingent upon the weather from the spring until the harvest. As we say in Yirmiyahu, that Hashem should guard for us the weeks of the harvest. The Omer was thanking Hashem for the spring. Hey, what's God's going with? Thank you. Good to see you. And you brought a carbon as a prayer for the future. So on Pesach, you bring the carbon, and you thank Hashem for what's happened. V'haita hasfira zikaron latfila yom yom. The point of counting is what? To remember to daven every day. To remind you every single day that as you wait for the success of your crop, as you wait for the success of your harvest, you should daven to Hashem. During that period of sort of suspense and hope that you have a successful harvest, that is a time to pray. That's the purpose of counting. Beautiful idea. So I think this is a very profound thing. Every holiday, we do two things at once. We thank God for what we have, and we daven for the future. And both of those are necessary. on the one hand, whenever we enjoy something, we have to be thankful for it. That's gratitude. But it's not enough. It doesn't mean we have to be satisfied. Our relationship with God is continuous, such that there's always something else to daven for. There's always looking back at the past and thanking Him, and there's always looking for the future and davening for the next step. And that's Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot all have both the element of Avodah and Tefillah. In fact, Rambam defines Tefillah as always including both these elements. It's Sheva, Pakka, Sheva, Hodah. Praising God, thanking Him for the past, and davening for the future. And that's the notion of Sefiras HaOmer. But on so that's on a pshat level. Again, looking at the Pesukim, the Torah themselves, you're not going to find anything explicit about awaiting Matan Torah. Of course, Chazal understood. We do know that Shavuot is in Sivan. And Pesach, and we know that we were taken out of Mitzrayim, Hashem says, to give us the Torah. That's why Ta'avdunot Ha'olkim Ahar Hazeh. So clearly there is included within this process a process of preparation for Matan Torah. So Kedushas Levi here in source number 10. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's a little bit lengthy and it's a little bit late. But he has a beautiful description of what the avoda, what our job is during these weeks of Sefiras HaOmer. Pesach was this gift from God, right? Pesach, Hashem just poured down this spiritual jolt of inspiration. And like all of a sudden we were slaves in Egypt, boom. All of a sudden we're free. All of a sudden we're free to serve God. And there's this, you know, new spiritual strength. But that came from God. It didn't come from us. We didn't earn it. It was a gift. Right? Chazal famously say, we had to do two mitzvot because we were empty of mitzvot. Right? Sefira is when we try to earn it. Sefira is when the inspiration has to come from us. And he has a very interesting curriculum here. Every single week we're meant, and it's based on Kabbalah, but I think on a simple level, it's also approachable. Every single week has a different thing to work on. The big first week, we work on our love of God. The second week, how we want to be fearful, to be in awe of God. The third week, how Tiferet, the Midah Tiferet, that we should glorify Him, like a child glorifies their parent. The fourth and the fifth week are about working on our emunah. The sixth week is about our connection, Devekut. And the seventh week is Malchus, about crowning God as our king. The last of the Midah. And I'll just read one line briefly. That's on the fourth line. L'chein. Acher she'elu ha-midot nimshacha me'aborei baruch hu. Since these Midot come from God, Be'elu yimei ha-sfira, yesh la'adam yimei ha-sfira, during the days of Sefira HaOmer, a person should let bodeid, take some time alone, v'la'avod Hashem elokeinu, and serve God. Kevin she'be'elu ha-yamim nimshachim elu ha-midot yisharim la'amo be'Yisrael. These are days where God is giving us these gifts of spiritual accomplishment, these attributes. So a person has to take this time to try to gain them, to try to work on themselves, to try to work on this midot of ahava and yira and amuna and connection to God, and that God's our king. And that's the process of Pesach Tashavuot. Pesach is a gift. During these 7 days of Sefira, we work on ourselves to earn that gift until Matan Torah, where we're finally ready to receive the Torah. Okay. I'll leave you with one last quick idea. The very end of the Parsha, actually not the very end, the second to last thing, very strange. God talked about the Moedim, Shabbat, and the Moedim, and the next thing, he talks about two things, out of the blue. He talks about the mitzvah of the menorah, lighting the menorah of the Mishkan, and lechem upon it. What? Where does that come from? Like, you know, we talked about the Mishkan already previously, in Truma and Tetzaveh, in Vayakal and Pekude. Why all of a sudden are we talking about the Lechem upon it? We've talked about them already. We talked about the menorah already. We do it again and again. So what's the purpose of that? So Medavat Tziyahman says something that's very interesting. He says, during the holidays, all the other things in the Mishkan are enhanced in a certain way. So that, what's the main thing you do in the Mikdash? Or is the Karban Tamid? There's a daily Karban you offer in the evening, in the afternoon, and the morning, right? In the evening and the morning. And you do that twice a day. During the Moedim, you enhance that with Musafim. Musafim means additional offerings to the Karban Tamid. Right? So that's special about the Karban Tamid. It's enhanced during the Moedim. It's not just the Tamid, it's special. It's Musafim as well. Even the Ketoret, which is another of the daily offerings. The Ketoret, it's the same on all the holidays, except on one, there is a special day where their Ketoret is enhanced. Anybody know what that is? When is there a special Ketoret? Which holiday? Yeah, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a special ketoret service. The Kohen Gadol brings the ketoret into the Kodesh HaKodashim. Lechem HaPanim and the menorah are not enhanced at all during the Moed. There's nothing special about them. It's the same avoda of the menorah and the Lechem HaPanim. There's no special Lechem HaPanim. There's no special hadlaka the menorah. It's all the same. Obviously, there's no Hanukkah yet, so you know that wasn't that. That's not in the Torah. So, and that's why I mentioned these two things. Now, I'm not sure why that is, but I think it does speak to something that maybe even I mentioned before. We had this sort of tendency to want everything to have to be special in a certain way. It can't just be ordinary. It can't just be something you do every day. It has to be like a special version of it. This is the, it's not just davening. We're doing a special davening. We're going to do a special this. Maybe the Torah wanted two things to just be ordinary. Every day you light the menorah, every day you set up, or every week set lechem upon it. And it doesn't change from week to week. It's the same service every single week. And there's a beauty in that too. There's a beauty in just consistently doing the same service every single week and every single day without this need of moedim. Oh, it's special and that's going to get me excited. We need to learn to get excited about the things that we do consistently. And please God, we'll take the moedim are there to provide us with inspiration for the rest of the year. It's not that we're supposed to only live for the modem. So please God, as we read the parsha of the modem, they all to inspire us to serve God enthusiastically the whole rest of the year. Thank you so much for joining us. And wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Good Shabbos. Thank you for preparing.